This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Back in 2014, the Sisters of the Holy Redeemer in Würzburg, Germany, gave asylum to a family who had fled the war in Syria and had sought refuge in Europe. Through their 150-year-old ministry in the fields of healthcare and social work, the nuns were no strangers to suffering, but that family opened up a new window onto a world of unfathomable pain and loss from a conflict that has passed its fifth anniversary. With hundreds of thousands of migrants risking their lives at sea in the attempt to find safety in Europe, more and more refugees began arriving in Würzburg. Together with German authorities, the sisters set to work adapting their spacious convent into a shelter for needy families. Today, they host more than 100 refugees, mostly Syrians, whom they call their guests. So, when Pope Francis called last year on dioceses, parishes, and religious orders to express the gospel in concrete terms, by each taking in at least one family, the sisters were well ahead in the game. Pietra Dankova, a postulant or nun in training with the Sisters of the Holy Redeemer, has worked for more than 8 years with refugees, mostly in Africa, and now helps the sisters in Würzburg. She talked to me about their work.
The biggest compliment I've heard for our work here was when one of our Syrian guests, and this was a Muslim man, so not even a Christian, he said even in Syria they heard about Pope Francis and his message of peace, and they always wondered about that, and when they're forced to come to Germany and ended up in what they could only describe as church, they said, now we see this message of Pope Francis lived out. Now we see that the sisters do what the Pope is telling people to do. It has brought a new life to the mother house. It has brought a lot of volunteers to us who maybe previously would never think of coming to a convent but wanted to help with the refugees, and through that work have learned more about the sisters also. And it had, you know, brought this new ministry to the sisters who have traditionally been involved in healthcare and social services, and now have really listened to what is the current need and what is the most pressing need in the community right now. And I've seen that these refugees really come sometimes with just a plastic bag full of things and these incredible stories of loss. And I think it has really given a new meaning to this mission of healing that the sisters have been living for the past 150 years.
Could you tell us, I mean, it must be so difficult for the sisters, and there is so much need out there. How do they choose between who can come and stay with them and those who've got to remain in the tents? Do you have any stories to tell us? I know that you've had some babies born there.
So mercifully, the choices about who comes are actually not up to the sisters. I think they would find that to be a big burden. So the government assigns people to come to us simply because we are part of the official government system of emergency shelters. Having said that, I think the government have noticed that the sisters are really able to provide a little extra care and attention to people. And so many of the families who come to us have a special need. If you can imagine a Syrian family who's made this incredible journey overland, you know, along the Balkan route, walking many, many kilometers, many days or weeks with a little girl who has cancer, who is 6 years old and very seriously sick. And when they have come here and came into one of the regular shelters, the danger to this little girl was actually even bigger because of, you know, shared facilities, shared bathrooms, because oftentimes there's hundreds of people living in one gym all together. And so we really see people with special needs. We have had by now many babies born to women who came to us who've made this incredible journey pregnant or who might have even become pregnant on the way. And, you know, I think it really brought a new understanding for me to the message of Christmas when I saw right before Christmas a very young family come to us, a young woman who was barely 15, who was pregnant and delivered a baby just a few days before Christmas. And, you know, I can honestly say that I have seen the reality of what we sometimes forget, that Jesus also was born as a refugee to a very young mother on the way who maybe was looked down upon for, you know, being traveling so pregnant and being so young and having a baby. And, you know, when you see this newborn baby and see everyone around the baby light up and realize that despite everything that the mother has suffered, this is just such a precious gift for her to have this born baby in her arms. Those are all moments that are really transformational. And I have seen, you know, many of the volunteers and many of the sisters and many people who hear these stories to really come to realizations that these are stories of human struggle. It's not some sort of a physical phenomenon, you know, wave of refugees or invasion even as we sometimes hear, but these are really people who have struggled and suffered incredibly and who call us to offer hospitality and welcome.
Germany, of course, led the push to give asylum to Syrian refugees, but it has since retreated from its promise to take in more. Other European countries are taking steps to build walls, close their borders to prevent them from coming. Mm-hmm. Do you think that these measures are warranted? Is Europe changing its very nature by saying no?
I think it's tragic that the European countries who really were at the forefront of putting in place this system of protecting refugees around the world, that these same European countries are now looking for ways to protect themselves from refugees. People say we have to protect ourselves from terrorists. I see babies being born in these camps on the Macedonian border or families with small children huddling in the rain. And I wonder if it's this rejection that is really a dangerous step towards making people feel like they're not worth anything. And that really brings them into the arms of recruiters and people who are looking for future terrorists. It just turns us away from this sense that we can be a community and do something for each other to this really base feeling of we have to protect ourselves in order to keep our good lives. We have to keep other people away, even if it's at the price of these people dying at our borders.
Have you seen some of these refugees leave the sisters to go on to find a real home, to be able to find a job, to rediscover their dignity?
A very clear example of this is a family who stayed with us last year in 2015, even during the time they just reached out and helped me with translating and help other people there, you know, when they needed accompaniment to doctors and so on. And this family now actually works for the sisters in this same house and has officially become assistants to the sisters to welcome people from their own country. And just last week I had dinner with them, and it was wonderful to see them in their new apartment. You know, now they were offering me hospitality. They cooked a dinner for me and told their stories about how their little son is now enrolled in a kindergarten here and how he's learning German and what experiences they're making and how they're really learning their way in Germany, you know, from little things like finding their favorite foods in the supermarket, which might be in a different aisle than they're used to, you know, figuring out the German culture and you know, the rules of do you bring flowers when you go visit someone or And these bigger things of really becoming a bridge between those people who are now freshly arriving from Syria and the German society to which they now more and more belong. And it's just really inspirational to see how much people want to make Germany their home, how much they want to learn the language, and how much they want to understand this culture and be part of it.
Petra Dankova is a postulant or nun in training with the Sisters of the Holy Redeemer.